Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Nitaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 8, text 92 and 93. So we'll do 92 together and 93 I'll read by myself. There is no purport to either of the verses.
Nitrimira anurupa nare na pare bhajite. E premera anurupa na pare bhajite. Atevari nihaya kahe bhagavate. Atevari nihaya kahe bhagavate. E premera anurupa na pare bhajite. Na pare bhajite. Atai vari nihaya kahe bhagavate. E premera anurupa na pare bhajite. Atai vari nihaya kahe bhagavate.
Please chant. Mothers, no, okay. This premera of love of God, anurupa. Exactly to the proportion. Na, not. Pare is able. Bhajite, to reciprocate. Ateva, therefore. Rini, debtor. Haya, becomes. Kahe, is stated. Bhagavate, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Translation. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.32.22, it is said that Lord Krishna cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Ras. Therefore, he always remains a debtor to such devotees. Text 93 is actually this verse now from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Napara eham nirvadaya samyucham swasadhu krityam vibhuda yushapiva yama bhajandu jayageha shrinkhalaha shramvrishchatadva pratiyatu sadhuna.
So translation, Ashila Prabhupada. When the gopis were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from the Rasa Leela, Krishna returned to them and told them, "My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly free from all material contamination. I must admit that in many lives it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you because you have cut off the bondage of family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to repay you. Therefore, please be satisfied with your honest activities in this regard.
Umagyana Tiganandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurum Nitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vinamaha Manchakalpaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevat Patita Nam Pavne Beo Shishi Vashnane Beo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Gadadhar Shri Vasadhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So these two verses are a continuation of Ramananda Rai talking, the talks between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya, and they are Ramananda Rai is continuing to expound on the Madhurya Ras. And he's quoting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So the verse before was from Bhagavad Gita. Now he's quoting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a very often quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would say this quite often, that Krishna is actually saying he cannot repay his debt to his devotee because he feels so indebted when a living entity surrenders unto him. And it keeps going down. He feels very indebted, and he says that I cannot really repay what you are doing for me, because he feels that a spirit soul, when they are actually coming to him, he feels a rini. A rini means a debtor. A debtor, we cannot actually repay. So many of our debts we cannot repay. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's actually mentioned that there are many different kinds of debts that we have. As soon as we take birth in this world, we have debts towards many, many, many entities, many people. And actually, it's a verse in Canto 11. I don't have the verse, but I did write down the different entities. The first thing is we are indebted to the devatas, the demigods, and the rishis, the sages. We are indebted to all living entities as well. We are indebted to our friends, our relatives, and we are indebted to our nation, because we are born in this nation. We are indebted to that nation. So we have got a lot of debt which we have to repay. However, Krishna says that if we surrender to him, then we have no debt. We have no debt to repay to any of these entities, because we are now surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna, on the other hand, actually Krishna says, I am indebted to you because you are surrendering unto me. However, Srila Prabhupada says in another lecture that he says that we are not indebted to anyone like anyone else, but like Narada Muni tells Vyasadev, once he's giving him the instruction of writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, give it to all the people in general. So Prabhupada says, our debt, what we have to repay is that debt to the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can repay that debt by giving it to others, by propagating Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is in that mood, he's saying, yes, you can repay the debt. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep Krishna consciousness to yourself. You give it to others. So for our, how Srila Prabhupada has taught us and how he has given us the method of giving it to others is, he has given us his books, and we can go out and distribute them. Yeah, Divyanga Prabhu, you are a role model in that regard, giving us direction how we can actually repay our debt to Srila Prabhupada, repay our debt to Vyasadev, to Narada Muni, and give it to others. Because Prabhupada says, otherwise you are still simply a debtor. You are not paying. So we can follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions in that way, by giving our Krishna consciousness to others. So now, as for this verse which is quoted today, 10:32:22. This is the pastime of Krishna when the gopis first came, in the dead of night to him, and they were having wonderful pastimes, and Krishna found that the gopis were feeling kind of proud, and they were thinking, Krishna is with me alone. And each one of them was thinking, Krishna is with me alone. How that is, I'm so fortunate, and Krishna is just like, you know, he loves me alone. And Krishna decided to just disappear. And when he disappeared, then we are familiar with the pastime that the gopis became very morose, and they were crying and running here and there all over the forests of Vrindavan looking for Krishna. And then the beautiful Gopi Gita was sung by them. And then Krishna suddenly reappeared. And when he reappears, the gopis are asking him, why do you do this? And they actually tell him, they ask him in an indirect way, what kind of person who loves someone do these kind of things, that they do not reciprocate their feelings, they ask him in a very indirect way. So Krishna actually gives a very detailed answer in these verses, verse 21, 22, 23 of that chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been translated, which we are part of Srimad Bhagavatam we are studying right now, Canto 10, for this particular verse, the devotees have not given it a very detailed purport. They said, consult Srila Prabhupada's translation in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no purport either. So I went to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Tika on Canto 10, and we see, and actually Krishna book also, Srila Prabhupada is giving very nice description in Krishna book. So we'll refer to these two acharyas, our previous acharyas, and that's the mood that we want to follow in the footsteps of our previous acharyas. And they actually have a very great insight, what Krishna is thinking. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, he's actually giving great details about what Krishna is going on in Krishna's mind when he's hearing the gopis say this. And so we see actually there is, in the spiritual world, it's not that things are just kind of assumed. It's not just assumed. There's actually an interaction going on. There's always interaction going on. Sometimes we find ourselves, we engage in our devotional activities, we engage in our sadhana bhakti process, and amongst each other, we kind of become impersonal. We just think, it's assumed, this has to be done, and that has to be done. Why should I even have to say anything? And if somebody is feeling something, you don't have to say it, because you know it's assumed that we have to be all happy and blissful in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna is showing by this pastime, as I was reading it, I was thinking, Krishna is so personal. He's actually talking and telling them in great detail. He's saying, do you think that I don't care for you? Do you think that I don't remember? Do you think I was being callous when I didn't actually appear before you? I disappeared from you? So he's telling in great detail. So I thought I'll just kind of read the two or three verses, which are when Krishna reappeared and the gopis asked him the question that... He said, the gopis say, some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate towards them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical. Yet others will not show affection towards anyone. And he said, dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us. So they are being very forthright. They are asking Krishna, please explain. And then, so Krishna says, the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. So in the purport it is mentioned that so even if someone goes away from Krishna, then once they've received Krishna's mercy, even if they go away, because we have got a little bit of wealth, we're always thinking, how can I come back to Krishna? There is that mood, that thought process is always there. How can I come back to Krishna? So, because a poor man, if he has got a taste, he gets a taste of some wealth, of opulence, he remembers that. There's always that memory. Oh, my life was so opulent. My life was so, it was so easygoing. Things were so wonderful. How can I get it back again? So the taste Krishna gives, and I know that most of us have had this experience when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we get like a free sample. We get that sample which really makes us, the taste is there, and then we want to keep on getting the taste. And we are chasing after the taste. And Krishna is there, and he gives us a little more taste, and then he wants to intensify our devotion, intensify our love for him. And he says, my dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion, your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings towards me. So he's again being very forthright. He's telling them, this is the reason why I disappeared. I wanted to, and do not have anything, don't feel anything inimical towards me, because I continue to love you. Even when I disappeared, I was continuing, my feelings for you were there. It's not that because I went away, my feelings went away. And then he says, this is the verse which is being quoted in today's context by Ramananda Rai. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. And this part is translated by Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book. Prabhupada says, therefore, please be satisfied by your own pious activities. So, the glorious deeds, the pious activities of the gopis. So Krishna says, I cannot repay my debt. Whatever, so you are going to be satisfied with what you have done. Whatever activities you have done in my service, please be satisfied with them. Of course, we know that Krishna reciprocates by giving us more and more of himself to us, by giving us access to more and more of his very, very guhyam, very, very confidential knowledge, the confidential pastimes of Sri Krishna, which we can enter into as we surrender more and more. And Srila Prabhupada actually says, when he's giving this description of this pastime, he says, the exemplary character of devotional service manifested by the devotees of Vrindavan is the purest type of devotion. It's enjoined in the authoritative Shastra that devotional service must be ahotuka and apratihata. So we are very familiar with these two words, ahotuki and apratihata. In the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto in chapter 2, this very famous verse, Savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhakti adokshaje ehotuki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So bhakti is causeless and it is unbroken. So as it is causeless, Krishna's mercy is also causeless, and Krishna's reciprocation is causeless as well. And this devotional service, as Bhagavatam is saying, it must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy oneself. We can be fully satisfied. And Prabhupada says, he actually goes a step further and he says, this devotional service to Krishna cannot be checked by political or religious conventions. So if somebody sets up a political, like a little meeting there and say, okay, no more worship of Krishna, like Aurangzeb was doing, he was coming, he came to Vrindavan, he was all over India, he was committing so many heinous acts and trying to prevent people in general from being devotees, from worshipping God. But he was not able to, he was able to kind of, stunt it for a while, but he was not able to take away that devotion which people have. And as we know that so many of the deities which were hidden, they were hidden away, and Krishna actually inspired many of the devotees to take the deities away. So it cannot be checked because some king has come on the throne, or like the people in Russia. The socialists took over, the communists took over, and they said, God is no more, God is not there. We are your God. You surrender to us and we will give you bread. So for a time it seemed like, okay, they are providing us our daily bread. They are providing us whatever we need. They will give us in such small installments. Maybe they are the ones who we should really worship. But we know how the people were simmering underneath. They were simmering, and as soon as they were able to, and they were actually even practicing underground. So that bhakti, which is jivera sarupa hoy nitya krishna das, that identity of our jiva is to be a servant of Krishna, cannot be covered, it cannot be taken away, it cannot be checked by any of these political conventions, or even in religious you can say in a religious term also, sometimes they will say, oh, it's all one, it is all, we are all surrendering to that unformed, that unmanifested form. But there is a person. And most of us have, that's why we all actually come to Krishna consciousness. We have come to Krishna consciousness because we are kind of unsatisfied, dissatisfied. We're dissatisfied by the explanation that there is something unmanifest. How can it be unmanifest if there is somebody actually acting? There's so many actions being done. Actually, recently we were studying in my middle school, was it an earth science class, and we were talking about how the theory of how everything was manifest, who made this, the rocks and this and that, and the students were saying, but who did it finally? So since we cannot really say God did it, I said, well, there are different theories. One of the theories is the Big Bang theory, that the matter all came together, and the other theory is that it was created by a higher being. And the students, of course, we have many devotees in our class, and they said, oh, it's God who made all these. This is such nonsense, that there is something just came together haphazardly and then it just became manifest. How can that be? Because it doesn't make sense. How can something which is nobody's controlling, somehow things just come together? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to a sixth grader. It doesn't make sense to an adult, and it doesn't make sense in any way. However, just to control the people, or to control minds of the people, these kind of propaganda are made. But if we actually go deep into the subject matter, we understand that this devotional service is actually it is unmotivated and uninterrupted. It's uninterrupted, even though we are not aware of it. That connection with the Supreme is always there. Even though we don't acknowledge all these the devatas, we don't acknowledge the pitras, we are all still indebted to them. So even though we are not acknowledging that the devatas are getting, the demigods are getting their strength from Krishna, Krishna is still giving them the strength. Or like, for example, the government. We might not see the president every day, or we have never seen the president, one face to face. But I know things are going on so nicely in this country because there is a strong president, there is a strong government, and because of them, things are going on very nicely in this country. And when there is chaos, we know the government is not very strong, or there is some disharmony. And that's why many countries are undergoing so much chaos. So we indirectly can understand that there is some power which is actually controlling, or some power which is actually getting everything done very nicely, step by step. So I'll just go over a little bit about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport in this regard. He says that Krishna, let's hear what's going on in Krishna's mind, he said. He said to the gopis, your association with me is faultless and unconditional. It does not depend upon any condition of material desire, fruitive work, worldly opinion, religious codes or the injunction of scripture. You are all saintly simply by good deeds you have done. It's not by coming into contact with something that you have become sanctified. I am incapable of properly reciprocating with you, even if I were to attain a lifetime of the demigods. And so Krishna is saying, therefore let your own pure character be the reward. And although your good character makes you forgive me for my fault, which was of leaving them and disappearing from their sight, relieve me of my debt, still I remain forever indebted to you. So now Chakravarti Thakur is saying what the gopis are thinking in their mind. They are saying, even though Krishna, who being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of transcendental qualities, devoid of the slightest trace of any fault, and knows all about our love for him, in order to establish the superiority of our love for him, he has performed this act of giving us up. We who wanted to defeat Krishna and criticize him for his conduct with our riddles have been most immoral in our intent, whereas he desired only to establish our exalted position. We could never act like that. Thus, in effect, we have become conquered by Krishna's love. So, you see this dynamic going on. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee, and the devotee is becoming conquered by Krishna's love. So there is a reciprocation going on back and forth. And where Srila Prabhupada is talking about, saying how the gopis need to be satisfied by their own pious activities, I was thinking of the word pious. How many people, you know, they will say, oh, you're pious, you know, you're worshipping God, you're very pious. And so one who is not is impious. However, it's very clear in our scriptures, and Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that for a bhakta, bhakti is actually not controlled by piety or impiety. Bhakti does not depend on pious or impious activities. And however, there is a however, one who is pious or one who has acted piously does get a chance to become a devotee. So piety could lead you to become a devotee, but it does not depend upon pious or impious activities. Because Krishna says, actually in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that Chaturvidha Vadante Mam, that four kinds of pious men actually come to me. And the understanding is that even if with some ulterior motive we come to Krishna, it would be pious. And because he has come to Krishna, he will ultimately come to the stage of bhakti. So we need to be, we need to have that firm faith that we have come to Krishna, and ultimately we will be able to, you know, make ourselves fully perfect by continuously engaging in this bhakti process. And we will be, like Prabhupada says in this verse, as soon as one is freed from inclinations towards pious and impious activities, he becomes a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. So if we keep on acting in a way that, oh, this is pious and this is impious, then we are not able to get above the material platform. We need to get above the, beyond the material platform, we have to go beyond this pious and impious acts. Although, another thing which I was thinking was, many of our children, you know, like, say for example, our second and third generation devotees, it's the month of Kartik, and they know in the month of Kartik it's nice to offer candles to Krishna, to Lord Damodar. So they may come with us, they may offer candles, they may do many things because they feel they should please their parents, or so that we'll just get off, you know, the parents will get off their back, and if they just offer a candle, you know, they'll be good to go. So it's a kind of a pious act. However, the thing is that even if there is some material motive or material reason, say our children are doing it because they want to please their parents, since they have taken that step of actually coming to Krishna, whichever way, Krishna will reward them. Krishna will reward them accordingly and will give them pure bhakti. So sometimes as a parent I feel disenchanted when my children are not exhibiting very many devotional qualities or not exhibiting so much interest in practicing Krishna consciousness. But I guess I take solace from this promise of the Lord that He will take care of one who is taking some kind of shelter of Krishna. So, and they actually will become perfect candidate to go back to Godhead, return home back to Godhead. So those were the few thoughts I had on this verse, and I will just repeat these two verses, the translation. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that Lord Krishna cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Ras, therefore he always remains a debtor to such devotees. And when the gopis were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from the Rasa Leela, Krishna returned to them and told them, "My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly free from all material contamination. I must admit that in many lives it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you, because you have cut off the bondage of family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to repay you. Therefore, please be satisfied with your honest activities in this regard." Thank you so much. Yes, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I was thinking, when we use the word piety, that's one of the words that, more than most, it has three different categories or contexts, how it's used. There's karmakanda or material piety, there's jnana piety, and then there's bhakti piety. So a lot of times they use it in a kind of a fun way. A lot of the things in our scriptures are written kind of tongue-in-cheek or something. Tricky. Like that. So, I mean, as far as the piety, the fruit of activity, piety means it's good for my sense gratification. But then there's piety in relationship to Krishna, which isn't karma, isn't contaminated piety, and it elevates one in their bhakti. And then, of course, the jnana piety, which is they're doing something that's favorable for advancing in their jnana understanding. So I just thought a little bit on that one. It's nice to see that. And because it seems like for the most part, in most language, this they use piety kind of in the karmakanda section. It's like right. The default conversation. And the transcendental one is more for flavor, how they use it backwards. And it just for kind of like in a humorous way, the way they interact with the karmakanda section.
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.